Amen. Psalms chapter number 100 tonight. And praise God. I just feel like I've got a word for somebody tonight. I was driving down the road today, and the Lord just began to deal with me. A scripture after scripture began to come to my mind. I opened up my notepad on my phone, and I pushed the little microphone so I wasn't texting and driving. I was just talking, and I was telling it everything and stuff. So anyway, I feel like the Lord's going to help us tonight. Psalms chapter number 100, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. Most of you could quote the entire chapter, and some of our Sunday school kids could quote the entire chapter when they were 4 years old. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is where I want to go tonight. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now we could take a look at that, and you would notice that in your Bible, that word Lord is all caps, and that is important. We know that it's talking about the same, but nevertheless, it's specifically the same here. Serve the Lord with gladness. He uses it again in verse 4. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is the Lord, because it is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his, the Lord. We are the Lord's people and the sheep of the Lord's pasture. Enter into the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and into the Lord's courts with praise. Be thankful unto the Lord and bless the Lord's name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. I want to take your attention back to verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Now here's where I want to be. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. And for just a few moments of time tonight, I want to preach on this thought, reassurance. Amen. Reassurance. Praise God. Would you ask the Lord to help us here today? Father, we love you. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you and magnify you today. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This amazing God that we serve. What an amazing God that we serve. Over the past few services, we have kind of talked about this amazing God and his ability to create the heavens and the earth without anything, and he spoke the worlds into existence. And I want to go from a little different angle here tonight, or just add a little bit more to that from a different perspective. The Bible says that he is the head of all principalities and powers. Doesn't matter what they are, whether they be thrones or dominions. Amen. He is the head of all principalities and powers. Doesn't matter if it's governments, if it's whatever it is, he is the head of all principalities and powers. And I know that there are those governments that are out there that feel like God would not be the head of their principality or their power, and that they do what they want to do. Let me just help them a little bit tonight. There is nobody that does really what they want to do. I understand we all have the power of choice, but the will of God is going to be done. Amen. The will of God is going to be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And they think that they can rule and reign and stuff, but they really are just, they're just pawns in the hands of God doing what God would have it to do. There is a day that's coming that he's going to wrap it all up. Praise God. But he is the head of all principalities and powers. The Bible calls him the supreme one. Amen. He is supreme. There is none that is greater than him. Obviously, he is the creator of the earth, but he is also the creator of all of the universes. The Bible describes and defines him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. It doesn't matter who the king is. It doesn't matter how great they are. It doesn't matter what kind of historical account that they have attached to their name. Amen. The Lord God is the King of all kings. Amen. And he is the Lord of all lords. Amen. He is our refuge and our strength. David said that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God. Amen. I want somebody to begin to get a hold of some of these things here tonight, but I'm just going to take my pen and I'm going to underline, amen, this, because I'm going to come back to it here in a moment's time. But amen, the Bible teaches us that the Lord, he is God, and we are his people. And then it gives a description that we can begin to parallel, that we can begin to learn of and begin to understand who that God is. The Lord, he is God, and we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 23 and 1. Again, this is a passage of scripture that can be quoted by many. The Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He, you could substitute the Lord in at every one of these pronouns. Amen. Referring to him. Amen. But he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Praise God. Amen. In other words, what we are saying here, amen, is the Lord causes us to rest, amen, in the land of plentiful. Praise God. You get sheep to the place where they feel like there is not enough food, or there is not enough protection, and they become very territorial. And when you get in their territory, they begin to become aggressive. And one of the ways is just not to provide enough food. And if the land is barren and there is just dirt there and there's no grass and there's no anything being substituted for the lack of grass or as such, they become very, very territorial, and they don't like other sheep getting in there close to them, and they don't really like other people coming in close. But the Bible says that our shepherd causes us to lay down in green pastures. In other words, I feel comfortable enough surroundings. God has made my surroundings to be peaceful enough that I can feel that peace, and that I will lay down and that I will rest. There's enough food. There's enough protection. Amen. And when I wake up and feel rested, I'll be able to partake of the food that is given there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Amen. The Bible said that he leadeth me beside the still waters. I want you to think in comparison of leading and driving. Amen. You can begin to understand, amen, something that is being driven as opposed to something that is being led. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Praise God. He did not leave me in the condition that he found me in. He did not leave me, amen, the way that I was. Oh, God, help us today. Amen. He didn't leave me in my hurt condition. He didn't leave me in my wounded condition. But the Bible said he saw the condition that my soul was in, and he restored it. Amen. These old cars. Amen. They get old and they have rust and they're ran down and their tires dry rot. Amen. But you've got these people that specialize in restoring these. Amen. And they take meticulous care and pay meticulous attention to every little detail. And not only are they paying attention, but they're studying every detail. They're researching books and they're researching that model. And they want to know exactly what the mirror was, exactly what, amen, the panel was and the trim was and such. And they want to restore that car to its original condition. Amen. The Bible says that he looks upon me and he sees where I am and he takes that meticulous care and paying attention to every little detail. And you thought that God didn't care about you. You thought that God didn't know. Amen. But he restores. There's only one way that he can restore. He's got to check you out first. He only restores because he knows that you need, amen, and some help there. Praise God. He restoreth my soul. Amen. And the Bible said that he leadeth me. Amen. Not driving, but he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says this, and I want us to pay attention to detail here. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Praise God. Let's read this next scripture. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what I've come to preach to you tonight. Not every day living for God is going to be sunshine and roses. And there is the tendency for humanity to begin to walk in low times and in low areas and then begin to think, God, where are you? God, do you even see where I am? Do you even care what's going on in my life? And you may be thinking to yourself, I'm in such bad condition that Ray Charles could see it. And here's God supposed to be omniscient and knowing all things and omnipresent and everywhere at one time, and look at the condition that I'm in. And if he could see the condition that I am, and if he hasn't forsaken me, then why am I facing this? And why am I going through this? And why am I experiencing this? And why am I feeling this way? Does not God even care about me? Amen. I want you to know that God knows every day, everywhere, every second that you're alive. He knows everywhere and everything that's going on in your life. And it does not mean that he does not care. Praise God. I am reminded of a time that when the disciples were on a boat and they felt like they were sinking and they were going under and they thought that they were going to perish. Amen. And I'm sure that some of them were up there whispering among themselves, what's he doing? I mean, here we are up here and we're laboring and we're toiling and we're bailing out water and all this. And he's back there sleeping. I mean, the gall. That he would not be up here helping. Hey, At least he could come up here and grab something. And finally, somebody got fed up. We got fed up with the situation, amen, and got up enough gumption or courage and walked back to the hinder part of the boat and woke the master up and basically in an accusatory way said, "Master, do you not care?" That's the Cowan Amplified translation. Do you not care? We are going to perish. We're going to die, and you're sitting back here sleeping. We're up here working our hands to the bone. We're up here toiling and sweating and not taking a break for anything, and you're back here sleeping like you don't care, like you have no care in the world. And here we are trying to keep you above water, and you're not even caring. And the master stood up. I want you to know, amen, that storm did not surprise the Lord. And I would even say that before he stepped on the boat, for the Bible says that he has his way in the midst of the storm. Amen. That while before he got on the boat, he knew the storm that was coming. Amen. But he was asleep in that boat, and he knew that a storm was raging. Amen. He just wondered if somebody was going to get tired, amen, of trying to do it themselves, amen, and come back and seek to him and see if he could help them in their situation. Because there's times, amen, that God is not going to push his way into your life. Amen. He may be asleep, amen, but he's on the same boat that you are on. He may be in the back of the boat while you're in the front of the boat, but he's on the same boat and he's in the same storm that you're going through. Let me just give you a little hint here that as long as you want to try to fix it and as long as you want to try to bail yourself out, he's going to let you do that. But as soon as you're ready for him to help, he's able and more than ready to step up to the front of the boat and to say, "Peace, be still." And immediately the winds and the waves have got to obey him. Now, David said that he is a present help. You know, there's times that I don't need help. There's times in life that you don't need help. I'm looking around. I would venture to say that most of us made it to our vehicles tonight without help. You know why? Because you don't need help. There's times in our life that we don't need help. And that's just natural. But that does not mean that the Lord stays in the heavens. If I've got this correct, number one, he orders my steps. I understand that that's spiritual, and that not necessarily that he said, "Now you're going to take 21 steps to your car." But this path of life, there's times that you don't need help and I don't need help. But that doesn't mean that he forsakes us. He's leading us. Leading us beside the what? What? Still waters. Not the raging rapids that's on the precipice of a cliff with the wind blowing and some rickety bridge that I'm getting ready to cross. just the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Come on. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now let's look at reality. I will fear no evil. In other words, there's evil associated with the valley of the shadow of death. That's not a good place that I would long to be. Not a place that's on my bucket list to go to. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's times that you're going to go through things that you're going to think to yourself, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And David said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, I thought that if God was with me, that everything would be fine. No, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but he's going with me. He's right there beside me. He's leading me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the midst of my enemies. There's some times it's going to get hot. There's some times it's not going to go so good. And you're going to feel like the enemy is over. I thought living for God, I'd have no enemies. Well, I thought that living for God, it would be peace that passes understanding, peaceable. I thought that living for God would be, David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you think that you can't sit down and get some sustenance and get some strength and get some energy because you're so overwhelmed and surrounded by the different enemies of life, no matter what it is. And it's the Lord just calmly setting a table, preparing a table, getting it all set. And then it's the Lord saying, lay down. Or it's the Lord saying, sit down. You just sit down and take care of yourself. I'll take care of the enemies for a while. And then we'll get back on our way through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm here to tell you today that God cares. But it's so easy to get caught up in our world that we're looking at everything that's not going right. We're looking at everything that's breaking down in the house. You know, somebody made this statement and how true that it really is. It says something about when it rains, it pours. Like nothing goes right. When it rains, it pours. It's like everything in the house is breaking down. The water heater goes out, and then this happens, and this happens, and on and on and on. It's just one thing after another. Then something happens with the vehicle, and the tire needs to be changed. Not just the tires need to be changed, but all of a sudden they're bald, and I need to replace all of them. And that's about the same time that I've got to do this, and I got to do that, and on and on and on. It's like, you know what? If it all came at me just here a little and there a little, I could whip it. But you know, when it seems like it just all piles up on top of me, and then here I am, and I'm fretting, I'm chewing the fingernails down to the quick, and I'm worried about things, and I'm laying awake at night trying to figure out how it's going to work and how I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul and how am I going to pay Peter back and how's all this going to work, and I'm trying to steamroll a penny and make it a dollar and just trying to make ends meet, and this ends don't seem to be meeting it. And then all of a sudden we come to this place and God was like, you know, God, if you really care, where are you? He's right there with us. He's right there with us. You just need to understand that every day is not going to be a great day. Amen. Every day is a good day that I have the Lord with me. Amen. But there's sometimes I just don't feel like I can see him, and I don't feel like I can feel him, and I don't feel like I can hear him. Amen. But he's there somewhere in the midst of it all. He is there. And you know what he's doing? He's watching over me. Amen. The Bible teaches us that his eyes are upon the sparrow, and if one falls, he knows all about it. Amen. The Bible teaches us that his eyes are upon the lilies, and he knows how to clothe them. Amen. Don't tell me that God doesn't know where you are. Don't tell me that God doesn't understand what you're going through. Don't tell me that God doesn't comprehend the stress and the anguish that you're feeling and the emotional despair that you have. Don't tell me that God doesn't care about your situation, whether it's financial or medical, amen, or whatever it may be. Don't tell me that God doesn't care about all of this. I'm here today to tell you that no matter where you are in life, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, surrounded by your enemies, it does not matter where you are. There is a God that is with you, and he cares, and he understands, and he sees every dilemma that you're going through. Some are sent by him, and you're going to come through stronger. Some are sent by him, and your faith is not going to waver. Some are sent by him just so that he can show you how good that he is. And some are sent by him, amen, to cause you to trust in him. But he's always there. A very present help in the time of trouble. Trouble. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.
That's what David said.
The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus stepped up and took it a step further. I'm not going to say that he corrected David, but he took it a step further. In the book of John, Jesus said, I am, that's an ego I me, Greek for the Hebrew, where the Lord spoke to Moses and he told him, he said, you tell them I am that I am. And so this is one of those I ams. Jesus said, I am. So he has already identified himself as the God of the Old Testament, Jehovah. I am the good shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. As a matter of fact, he said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Yeah. And then he goes on and he talks about a hireling, and they're not a shepherd. And they don't own the sheep. They see the wolf coming, they leave the sheep, they flee, and the wolf catcheth them, scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. He said, but I am the good shepherd. He said, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Now, let me just give you an example here. You and I could walk into a pasture with 100 sheep, and we would look at those 100 sheep, and we would say something in common. They all look the same. They all smell the same. They all act the same. But the shepherd would have a different story. He would tell you they don't look the same. They don't act the same. They may smell the same because they all hang out together. But they're different. You could go to a cattle rancher, and you could go into a cattle ranch there, and There could be 100 cows in there. And they could all have different colors, and some of them would look the same and such like that. But that rancher would be able to tell every one of them. And chances are he's probably named them. And the same goes with those sheep. That shepherd that's overlooking those sheep, and he knows his sheep. And that's what Jesus said. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. That's not just that he looks and says, that's Henry, and that's Daniel, and that's Hunter. Uh-uh. Now a shepherd can do that. A shepherd can take a look at his sheep, and he can begin to point them out, and he can say, you know what, this one over here, you got to watch him. Well, how do you know that's the one? Because he looks like everybody else. Now, I'm telling you, you better watch him, because if you turn your back on him, he's going to butt you. We had one of those. And then, now this one over here, this one over here is as gentle. I mean, when he was a baby, he was gentle, and he's still gentle. Extremely docile. You can do whatever you want to with. This one over here, you could put your kid on it. Let him ride it. Mutton busting. You can do whatever stuff, you know. This one over here has got high energy. Now these two over here, they're brothers. And this and this. Now this one over here, this is a sister to this one over here and stuff like that. And they know their sheep. You and I are sitting back here thinking. You know, it's kind of like twins. You know, we got two sets of twins in this church. And, you know, when I first came here, I told Brother Gavin and Brother Garrett, I said, I don't even know how to tell you guys apart. They said, well, one wears glasses and the other one wears contacts. So if you see me wearing glasses, I'm so-and-so and of this guy. I forgot. But you know what? The more I'm around them, you know, the easier it got to tell them apart. Now, you know, it's just like second nature. And now we look at everybody else and they say, well, I can't tell so-and-so apart. Like, we got these other little twins up here, you know, and there for a long time, those people, okay, all right, now, that's Grayson. Nope, that's Jameson. Okay, I got it this time. That's Grayson. Nope, wrong again. That's Jameson. But, you know, the longer you're around those little fellas, it's like the less they look alike. Now there are times that I have to do a double take, and I'm Pops. And I have to do a double take. I was like, wait, turn around. Let me look at you. Sometimes I can tell them apart for looking at the back of them. I can look at their head. I can look the way they walk. That is knowing. You can see the way they walk, and you say, that's Grayson, that's Jameson. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Jesus doesn't know you just as Henry and Daniel and Hunter. He knows every strength you have. He knows every weakness you have. All of us. All of us. He knows the way that we walk, the way that we handle ourselves. He knows what sets us off, and he knows what we can conduct and what we can handle. And he knows what tomorrow holds. And so he knows. Now tomorrow, this one here is going to be in a situation, and they don't respond well to this situation, so I'm going to stay pretty close. It does not mean that he removes the situation. It just means that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Now, this one over here, they don't know it yet, but they're getting ready to walk through a very difficult time in life. But I'm going to walk through them with them through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to leave them. I'm not going to forsake them. And there's nothing that catches God off guard. I'm just simply saying bad things happen to good people. And it's not always just bad things. It's just simply life. Life. It rains on the just and the unjust, but it's still going to rain. Problems come to good people as well as to bad people.
Sometimes we have problems in our life because of the goofy choices that we made. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves. But that doesn't mean that God forsakes us. He's going to help us get through it. Now, what you want Him to do is you want Him to pick you up in spite of the choice that you made and move you back over to the right road and put you down. That doesn't work. But the sooner you realize that and say, okay, God, I messed up, would you reach down and help me? Absolutely. I've just been back here in the back of the boat. Just minding my own business. I'm in the same boat that you're in. I'm in the same storm that you're in. But hey, you're ready for me to step forward? I'll step to the front. You'll be in the back. Come on. And He'll lead you and He'll guide you and He'll direct your steps back to the path. But we do suffer the consequences of our choices. That's why we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's why we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because that is all that we love the Lord with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. That is before we give away our emotions, before we make decisions and stuff, we talk to the Lord about it because He is everything to us. Let's stand here this tonight. I've just come to tell somebody here today that God cares. And God knows where you are. And you've been sitting there thinking your mind, does God even know? Does God even care? I mean, if God cared, then why? Why am I facing this? Why am I going through this? Why is this not happening? Why is this happening? In the midst of evil, He's there. In the midst of trouble, He's there. Valley of the shadow of death, He's there. In the midst of the enemy surrounding you, He's there. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You just need to know, instead of faulting God, instead of questioning God, God, where are you at? Oh, He's there. Well, if He's here, why isn't He doing something about it? He's waiting. Well, I'm tired of waiting. Sometimes that's all we can do. Wait. And that can be a hard thing. But sometimes that's the order of the day. Wait on the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Human frailty, we get to the place that we want to try to outrun God. I'd rather be just a few steps behind God, letting Him lead the way, than just a step or two in front of God, feeling like I know how to do it. I want God to know that He hasn't created, pardon the phrase, but He hasn't created an idiot here. I got some common sense. But God, it's not much. I'm dependent on You to direct my every step. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm just going to have a confidence He's close. I don't know where, but His word says He's close. When I'm in trouble, I may not know where, but He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Surrounded by all of my enemies, I don't feel very protected. I don't feel very strong. I feel extremely vulnerable. But He's there. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And joint heirs with Christ. And if we're the children of God, then we are sons of God. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if one who is evil knows how to give good gifts unto their children, how much more does my heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to those that ask him? God's taking care of things. God's taking care of things. And sometimes he's not on a PA system screaming and yelling at you. Sometimes he's that still, small voice. Sometimes he's that gut feeling that you have. And you get ready to do something. You get ready to buy something. You get ready to invest. You get ready to do. And you just feel that. Oh, if you push it, you know you're going to mess it up. But sometimes that's all that I have. You know what? That's the hard time to understand and to know. If he would have been in the fire, Elisha would have said, "Hey, I got it." If he would have been in the wind, you know, Elisha would have been holding his hat down and he would have said, "I understand." If he would have been in the earthquake, Elisha would have been able to say, "Got it." He's in the still small voice. If it was a fire, wind, or an earthquake, we could figure it out. Sometimes it's just that still, small voice. And we've got to know and we got to hear. But he's there. He's there. And finally, the end of it all says it like this. We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that so powerful? You know, you didn't choose God. Hey, think about this. I'm done. Think about this. If we got to choose, why wouldn't we choose God? All powerful, no loss, heaven, Prince of Peace, miracle worker, all these things. Yeah, I choose God. Right? He looked down at us and said, "Pathetic, mess up, dirty, rotten, thief, liar," and all of those other names that defined us. He looked down at all of that and he said, "I choose them." Because while we were yet sinners, he looked at us in our wretched situation and said, "Step aside. I'll take your place." While we were yet sinners, he died for us. For the sins of the whole world. That we could have life. And not just life, but life more abundantly. That's the God that we just need some reassurance here tonight. You know why you need some reassurance? Because your world is upside down. You know why you need reassurance? Because everything that you've been standing on is shaking. Everything that you've been able to hold on to is falling apart, coming loose at the seams. Everything that you've had confidence in, the confidence of your world, and I'm not talking about our government, I'm talking about your world. The ones that you have put around you to be strongholds, to be encouragers, to be this, is like Job's friends. They're not encouragers. It's like everything is falling apart. Everything I touch is falling apart. Everything I do seems to be wrong. And then the next thing that we do is we look to God and say, why? And so I'm driving down the road today and the Lord just impresses upon me. You just tell my people I'm there in the midst of the storm. I'm not taking the storm away. I'm just going to be with them in the storm. And then I'm just telling you one verse after another just begin to roll through my mind. God's there. God, when are you going to come through? We will come through. The storm's over. The storm passes by. I think it was Merle Ewing used to sing many, many years ago. He said, where did the wind go? Who stopped the rain? I only remember whispering your name. But the storms, they don't decide how long they're gonna stay. Because when the master says enough, they just go away. But until then, he's going to be with me. He's going to be with me. Come on. Would you love him tonight? Come on. You've been holding it together and your thread is getting ready to break. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I felt it as I was driving down the road. You've been strong. You've been strong, but you're wondering to yourself, how much longer can I last? Where's God? Why hasn't God come through? Why hasn't God saved? Why haven't God answered the prayer? Why hasn't God, where has God been? He's just here today to tell you, I know it's a storm, but I'm here in the storm. I know it's the valley, but I'm with you. I'm with you in the valley. Doesn't matter where you are. You're on the mountaintop. Oh, it's easy to recognize. But when you're in the valley, he's no closer to you, amen, on the mountain than he is to you in the valley. He's there. He's with you. Whatever situation that you're going through, whatever time of life that you're in, it doesn't matter. God's there. He said, I'll be as close as the mention of my name. Unless you're in the valley or in the storm or in the fire or, you know, yeah, you're on your own then. No, that's not what he said. He said, I'll be as close as the mention of my name. I don't care where you are. If you're in the storm, I'm there. In the fire, I'm there. Troubled seas, I'm there. Doesn't matter. He's here to reassure you tonight. He said, I will never leave you. I don't understand the trouble. I'm with you in the trouble. I will never leave you. Hallelujah. Nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the very end. All the way, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's that amazing God, that supreme head of all principalities and powers, and just a lowly one like me. He say, come on, let's walk a while. We can do this. Come on, child of God, you can do it. You can do it. Your God hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't left you. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.